Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
The two most important moments in our lives, said Mark Twain, are the moments that we're born and the moment we realize why we were born. Discovering why we're born is the meaning of life, and all of us have been on this quest and the journey. If we begin with a sense of gratitude that our life began here on earth, then we find our meaning by being in a right relationship with our Creator, the one who made us and sustained us, and our relationship of how we belong to each other. So the question is, why is it? In a day of social media, in a day of a global village, in the day in which there will be a football game played at 6 o'clock this afternoon, seen around the world, we are so lonely as a people. When there is so much, why does it seem we're drowning under the resources instead of finding richer meaning? That's why it will feel odd and yet so on target to take a step back in time to understand the times in which we live. The passages which the Pattersons read for us come from 3,000 years ago, but inspired by the Holy Spirit, written by a man who was hanging on by his fingernails on the side cliff of life's meaning. He was called the preacher, Koheleth is his Hebrew name. He was called as a man who was known for his wisdom, and all of his wisdom had only brought him unhappiness. He had sought out all the latest technology, all the latest avenues of pleasure in this world. He had the power to do what he wanted, but it disconnected him rather than connected him to feel the joy of that first moment in his life and to understand the answer to the second moment, his meaning for living. The book of Ecclesiastes is best known by the third chapter in the opening line, that there is a time for everything and a reason under the sun for all that occurs. It was the best of times and worst of times, as Dickens would put it later. And yet, so many of us only know this message by way of that one verse. And yet all the book has a message to give us as a warning and a clarity and a hope of our 21st century world. In 24 different phrases in this book of 12 chapters, the Koheleth, the preacher, uses the word meaningless, meaningless, all is meaningless. Well, that's a real upper. That gets you excited. That gives you confidence that you can discover your life meaning. It fills you with the hope and said, let's go get them, or as they would say, sick 'em bears. And the sense of this quest, what he has described is, I had it and then I lost it. For if this person is connected to Solomon the king, that when he first gained the reign from his father David, it said in 2 Kings 2 that he prayed that the Lord would guide him with wisdom, that he would understand what he was supposed to do, and he would follow God's leadership. But along the way, the brightness of that prayer grew dim as Solomon became more and more confident in his own ability. He moved from a bold humility to an arrogance and a conceit, and I can do it my way. And he lost his way. And in losing his way, he was helping and causing other people to lose their way. He was a person filled with sexual harassment. He was a sexual addict. He was an addict to power, and he abused his power. He was held accountable by God. But as that man from the 1800s put it centuries later, it's not just that we are punished for our sins, But our sins punish us along life's way. And the preacher, Koheleth, maybe Solomon's prayers, were catching up with him and draining him from any sense of happiness. But hanging on by his fingernails along the cliff of the meaning of life, he remembered the early days. He remembered his Creator. And he comes back like a warning before he died. Don't do it my way. Let me tell you about the better way I could have chosen. Larry Register was a wonderful man who touched many lives. He also was humble in his life. Many of us gathered here yesterday for Larry's funeral service. He wrote in the Bible that he gave to his daughter-in-law 25 years ago, and which said, "Read this book, I wish I had. It would have saved me from many mistakes in life." It's a word that each of us can pen. For only by the grace of God, saved by the Messiah's mission of the meaning-making purpose of Christ in our life, can we discover the same kind of joy which is there. And so that connection to social media is a connection to, think of the term, social togetherness, media, a way of communicating. It's the sense of how we do a connect with each other. And so there are scenes by which it takes place. As you see these scenes, you can see there's a family having a traditional meal, and there's a family that is all on their devices. There's a group of friends together in the same room, and they're all on their devices rather than talking with each other. And then there are these two little characters in the bottom right-hand screen that happen to be my grandson and granddaughter. They were staying with us one recent night, and we were, doing the things that you do as a family. And all of a sudden, I turned around, and Vicky had taken a cardboard box, put our granddaughter inside of it, began to cut it around her, and all of a sudden, that cardboard box had become something more than what it was otherwise. It had become the uniform of a robot. And our granddaughter moved around the house with the sound of a robot, allowing a cardboard box to provide entertainment. Now, there's a lot of entertainment provided in social media, but it has to be a connect to some traditional ways of getting together. And so I'm into my mobile device. You're into your mobile device. I see some of you looking to yours now, and I'm confident that what you're looking at is the Scripture. And those of you who are using your index finger, I know you're not sending somebody a text. You're writing down the notes for my sermon. I get it. And so we need to either turn off our devices or turn on the devices to the purpose by which they're there. Social media is a way that's connected to a mobile device that connects our world. That's the upside, and it's a good news. The point is this, that we have to stay connected in our relationship to each other with meaning and purpose of our hearts in order for us to have meaning with what we do with social media. Here are 17 of the top forms of social media. Facebook, of course, lists the top. More than 2 billion people are connected to each other by way of Facebook. The sense of taking this, which is only a few college generations ago when it began, now is a primary means of building a network. 60% of all youth ages 13 to 17 in America have a social media profile, a way of telling who they are in the midst of the most social media arena. The value and the upside is that we want to be known. And so we choose a way of communicating our identity and the lives of others in a way that we want to be. And there's also immense abuse. They're patrolling as predators upon social media. And there's a sense of absolute controls which are needed by parents and working with children, but also for all adults. The reason why pornography is on a rise in America, even while the sadness and the sickness of Hugh Hefner's life brought him to an end on earth without happiness. The one who mainstreamed pornography for our society. That even in the midst of this, the reason pornography is on the rise is because of social media. Now, the online, the internet experience in itself is amoral. It's not neither moral or immoral. It's what we bring to it. It's what we can deliver to it. And part of the power of social media is that we can deliver our messages. Though Trinity Baptist Church is on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. We have online small group experiences. We have Faith Collective, a way of delivering the message online. We're joining by live streaming today. The sense of trying to take the message of Jesus in a moral way, providing it and the content that can be received around the world, and the competition is thick and heavy and hard, and we will not back off. But each of us, as our own users and providers, have the sense of the conscience of a person made in the image of God to use it well to also connect our families. So back to the premise of the sermon, that love and meaning can, only love and meaning can satisfy the deepest desires to connect. Connect by listening and sharing. We can have support groups, we can have connectors and updates by way of Facebook, but the primary means of being friends with each other is to connect, maybe having support information on the Instagram. But it's the direct kind of connect that enables us to feel the connection which is there. That's why last night there was a gathering of Baylor alums with our Baylor Religious Hour Choir doing the old traditional thing of having a meal and telling stories in face person. You're here today because you know there's a value in being in God's presence with a group of people who are answering those two questions in life. Why was I born, and how I can celebrate the fact that I was born. We're on the journey together, and therefore supporting it is the means by which we quickly can do three things in the life of our family. One is we can remember. We can remember the creator of our youth. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1, gets at the point that God created you for pleasure and for meaning, but we must stay connected with him. In a world that creates a disconnect in too many relationships, and in too often our devices become like an idol, displacing God rather than utilizing a way of coming closer to God. Think of it. Your lives are busy, right? There are 1,440 minutes for all of us, correct? 168 hours in a week. Busy, every one of us. How many times do you actually spend, how many minutes a day do you actually spend in prayer with God? How many days, how many hours in a day, how many minutes in a day do you spend in face-to-face communication with people? Okay, we'll count FaceTime. That'll matter. But when you're face-to-face listening to the heart of someone else, how much time do you spend, or do I spend, either getting news off my social device or doing other things with it? And does that help me come closer to God, closer to people, and closer to fulfilling my life purpose? How does it help your family? You know, families are surveyed today by non-religious groups. And what teenagers will say in that survey, maybe never say it to their parents, but what they would like most in their family is to have a mealtime on a regular basis together. I mean, at times that happens when you go into soccer practice and you have to get your, you know, your quick meal and talk about it on the way. But the sense of being together, and why the promo for the sermon message has had the old traditional way of setting plates on the table, it's not a throwback Thursday. It's a way of trying to say in the moment, this is what we hunger for. And why many social scientists are saying that the epidemic of loneliness is going to crash in our world in 2030. And I thought about that. Why? People have always been lonely. There's always been a sense of questing for life's meaning. Because we have, I think the answer is, because we have so many supports today, including social media or opiates, the way of dealing with pain, and that we're discovering that in themselves they do not provide the ease from the pain in our soul, nor do they create the satisfying connect in our soul. And that the expectation will be met by disillusionment, and an epidemic of loneliness will expand. And yet here came the Messiah. Here came the Messiah for a message, the same presence of God that delivered this message to the author of Ecclesiastes in chapter 12, verse 1, when he gave the full description. He says, now remember your creator, the one who made you, the first answer to the question. You were born. Thank you, Lord. Now, why was I born? Well, you brought me in with a life of purpose and meaning. Secondly, when we move into this story, into this experience, we also do the kind of connect that enables us to experience a promise which God provides. And in this, we be able to discover a connect that God gives us a way to see each other by listening and sharing to the deeper meaning. God is whispering to you. He's whispering, I love you. I believe in you. I created you. I gave you talents and a purpose and a place. I've given you the opportunity, and I've also given you this incredible technology that in the 21st century we've discovered. But God created it long ago. We're tapping into the resources that enable us to do all that happens online now. And God says, are you using it to bring me closer to you? Are you using it to bring you closer to each other? What I described was that meaningful, everything is meaningful. That's the upside of what can be. But how he said it in verse 8 of chapter 12 is this: it's meaningless, says the teacher, everything is meaningless. It's a choice to be made. It's one or the other. When Jesus came to give himself into the world, he came so that we would have the source of living water that we would never thirst again. That we would have the source of abundant life, that we would have the breakthrough in the meaning of life. And that in the richness for that, God provides a way for us to stay connected regularly in the intimacy and the love which he gives. And then to apply. Applying matters of the heart, that God knows your heart. For those who are visiting today, Trinity Baptist Church has three campuses, all with a mission-centered purpose. This is our Mulberry campus. Across the street and down the way are four houses, including a medical clinic, and at any given time in one of the homes, the Carlton home, 35 women are in residence treatment for chemical addictions. A former elementary school is just down the road, which enables us to have our counseling and administration partnering with people across this region, making that possible. But Alpha, New Beginning, Home, a place that we hunger in our heart, our second campus. And one of the things that our Alpha Home women have taught me, women who have suffered from chemical addictions, they said the biggest challenge is what to do with the boring moments. What do you do with your boring moments? That is, when there's no pizzazz, there's nobody in the stands rooting for you, it's just you. And what are opportunities to be with people around you in a good way? And when we give those regular moments, those moments that aren't boring then, they become regular moments in the life of God, then there's the pizzazz which he brings to everyday life. Our third campus is our TriPoint campus. It's the experience there where our BRH choir sat, they slept there last night. Sleeping bags on there weren't comfort feather beds that you slept on, right? Like you were just on carpet and cement, and they have sung beautifully for us today. But the TriPoint campus is a non-traditional, relationally based church campus with a YMCA, a Summer Moon Coffee Cafe, worship experiences, Bible studies, meetings, and gathering spaces. And when I was at the TriPoint campus this week, a lady came up to me and she said, hey, I don't know if you remember this, but last October I was here, we had a cup of coffee. You told me as you were talking with me about the anguish about my daughter and what my daughter, she had made a series of life decisions that were very painful for her, painful for us. She wasn't able to get out of those life decisions. It was chronic, and life was going the wrong direction mighty fast. And you just told us to stop in the moment right there and said, you're believers, right? And she said, yes. When I said to them last October, then first there's a spiritual decision that you're making, that the anguish of your daughter is all that you're able to think about and feel. It's hard for you to do anything else in your day without first taking it through the pain for your daughter. It may be hard for you to hear this, but I need to tell you what a wise man once told me, that pain has become your idol. An idol is when we can't do anything other than what we feel and think about that thing first. Let your daughter be in the back of your mind, but not in the front of your mind. We talked on. 4 months later, she comes up to me and she said, that changed our lives. It changed our lives where we then are actually be more helpful to our daughter And we're able to let God speak his message because we're listening more carefully to his hope in our life, to the life of our hurt. Listening to the heart which is there. Meaningful, meaningful, or meaningless, meaningless. It's a choice to make. These beautiful flowers, which you provide by donations each Sunday in honor of an anniversary or someone that you love, Aaron and Patrick bring them every morning, put them in a place. We have a ministry team that takes these flowers right after worship. They kind of redesign them, puts them in small bundles. They take those small bundles, and they're delivered to people in the hospital or the nursing home or our Meals on Wheels through the week. And one of our Meals on Wheels folk told me this week, John told me the story of when they delivered the flowers to a lady that lived in the back house of a big home, and they gave her the flowers. She said, "Where'd these come from?" And he said, "Trinity Baptist Church." And immediately she began to weep, touched by the kindness of the gift of a flower into a lonely heart. See, you are God's answer to bring meaning to the life of the people because you're born and you say, "Thank you, God." Two, through Christ Jesus, you can have the meaning pervading and soaring in your life, that you can bring that meaning to the lives of others. Not worry-free, not problem-free, not pain-free, but in the midst of the problem, the pain, or the worry, you're able to show that Christ is bigger than that, and through you, you can bring connect that promise unto them. Dr. Laura Parahone is going to share in just a moment. And when she comes to share, she and her husband David are medical missionaries serving in where their home is in Managua, Nicaragua. And while they're there doing medical mission work, the Amos ministry is touching the lives of villages and the urban sector in the name of Jesus Christ. Part of what she shared with some of us on Friday is that in the day in which we have all these mobile devices, some people are just needing pure water. Basic nutrition. It's only through the basics being delivered into our body that we can be healthy. Only by the basic of love being spoken into our hearts can we be made whole. Only by the gift of the grace of Jesus Christ can we know our sins are forgiven and be set free. The power of the Christ is here for you. Bring your life and know his joy. Oh Lord, we are ready for the invitation to pray and to be prayed for, to deliver our lives as an offering to you for a week by which we will work and study and live. Some to come and say, "I'm ready to accept Jesus as my Savior." Others to come to say, "I'm ready to join into the life of the family of God, this family here at Trinity. Through Christ, amen."
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.